We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host... LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassin.
The Dodgers have won six in a row after defeating the Rockies tonight by a final score of 7-5. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassin with you until around 11:30 or so. 866-987-2570. The Dodgers now head to San Diego for their first showdown against the San Diego Padres. They certainly took care of business on this first homestand, winning all six games. They swept the Nationals out of town and now sweep the Rockies out of town. The Dodgers have had a knack of beating up on the Rockies, especially in recent history here. The Dodgers have swept the Rockies in five of their last seven series played at Dodger Stadium. Not to mention they have won 20 of the last 23 games against the Rockies played in Los Angeles. The Dodgers outscored the Rockies and Nationals on this homestand 31-12. They also showed their depth of their pitching staff as they had three different pitchers save games. Corey Knebel, Kenley Jansen, and tonight, David Price with his first career regular season save. 866-987-2570. Let's bring in Ned Colletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Ned, the Dodgers obviously riding this wave of a six-game winning streak to San Diego, but they go in there with their depth a little tested now, especially with A.J. Pollock leaving tonight's game with a left groin issue and Gavin Lux being a late scratch, not to mention Cody Bellinger still on the injured list.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting series for a lot of reasons. Tatis, sounds like he may play. Myers has been out too. So San Diego's not 100% either, but it ought to be a great series. And Dodgers got enough depth. I think this series is bigger for the Padres, who are chasing the Dodgers, than it is for the Dodgers, but it'll be great for baseball, great for both teams to play competitive teams.
Yeah, I was talking to Andre Ethier maybe in spring training, Ned, and he really believed that if the Dodgers win series against the Padres in the regular season, especially early on, that might get into the Padres' head of, you know, maybe we can't beat these guys, especially with the recent history of the Dodgers sweeping them in the NLDS.
Well, the regular season does set some trends. I think, you know, San Diego, we heard all the noise all winter. They made some really dramatic and some big moves. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything once the regular season starts. You got a long way to go. I think that if a team can dominate another team, yes, no doubt. But if a team always wins that first game of a playoff series, suddenly the momentum changes in the other direction. So there may be a little bit to, if it happens that way and it starts the postseason, but I still think you're bound to have something you're going to have to compete for anyway.
Yeah, and in the regular season, the Dodgers have the best record in baseball to start the year. So if they do win this series, two out of three at the very least, they're starting to put a little bit of room between them and the Padres. And I think everybody doesn't realize that this is the first of seven games that the Dodgers and Padres will play in the next week or so, because after these three games in San Diego, the Padres come to Dodger Stadium next Thursday to start a four-game series. So these two teams, we're going to get a taste of if this is really going to be a rivalry this season.
Schedule maker did a good job. Two weekend yeah. series, back and forth, three there, four back here in L.A. You know, going one more thing back to the Dodgers' start here. When you start a season, most teams are hoping to get over 500, to start to gain some momentum getting over 500. The next landmark is to go 10 games over 500. Dodgers have played 13 games. They're one win away from being 10 games over 500. We've just started.
Yeah, and they've taken advantage of some teams that they're catching at the right time. The Nationals had some COVID-19 issues with their players, but they were able to beat Max Scherzer on Sunday, and their starting pitching has been a big reason why they're off to such a great start. But how about Justin Turner and Max Muncy, Ned? Those two guys are off to hot starts, and you think back to April's a past for Justin. He has admitted that he's a slow starter. And if you think back to last year's regular season, it really never got on track for Muncy after he broke his finger.
Exactly. JT had three career April home runs before April of 2021. He's got four this month. And then Max, you know, he read changeup very well and deposited it out. You know, you think about Colorado, to the point you just made about San Diego, and you mentioned how many times the Dodgers have beaten Colorado in the last few years. They've got a 2-0 lead, and one JT swing later, they're down a run. They get a 5-3 lead, one mistake right there, change up to Muncy, now they're down again. So that is what this team is all about. They can really grind you out. They make you make every pitch. Every single pitch can change a game, can change the direction of it. And as you watch the Dodgers, whether it's the first inning where they've been terrific or it's later in the game, watch how they work a count. And they'll make a pitcher throw a strike. It might be 1-0, might be 2-0. Suddenly, they've got all the momentum inside that at bat. They've been excellent at doing that. It did it again tonight.
It felt like Yency Almonte had the same look on his face that Will Smith of the Braves had on his face during the NLCS when Will Smith, the Dodger catcher, hit that home run, Ned.
Well, he checked the little scouting report card right before he threw the pitch, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, it probably should have said, put the ball in your pocket, because, you know, it, obviously if they're calling for a 2-0 changeup to Max Muncy, Max Muncy could figure that one out, too.
And not to mention the pitch right before he hit out, it was a wild pitch to put runners at second and third. They could have walked Muncy and faced Will Smith and gone righty on righty, but they chose to face Muncy, and he made him pay for it.
Yes, he's done that a lot in his Dodger career. 90th regular season home run for Max tonight. You know, going back to what I just mentioned, too, about the pitch. When I saw that wild pitch, because it wasn't close. It wasn't close. It almost hit Max in the back foot. That tell me right there, you know what, this kid's going to have trouble. Monty's going to have some trouble getting through this at bat. He's overthrowing. He's trying to do too much. And if he's going to end up paying a price here.
866-987-2570. The Dodgers beat the Rockies tonight by a final score of 7-5. They do lose A.J. Pollock in the middle of this game in the seventh inning when they had to use Gavin Lux to pinch run for him because of tightness in his left groin. Lux was a late scratch. He was going to start at shortstop tonight and lead off, but he was scratched late because of a sore left wrist. And I saw that Dave Roberts mentioned who's going to be on this taxi squad position player-wise. It included DJ Peters, Sheldon Noisy, and Keibert Ruiz. Now, keep in mind, Keibert Ruiz is a switch hitter. He was really good in spring training, and we know his reputation of a promising young bat for the Dodgers. Ned, if they have to put Lux or Pollock on the injured list, especially with Cody on the shelf right now, out of those three guys, I know Noisy's a right-handed hitter, an infielder, but I would say the Dodgers may be considering going with three catchers and using that switch-hitting bat of Keibert Ruiz to get some offense going.
It makes a lot of sense, and we haven't seen him do it for a little while, but remember, you know, Austin Barnes, he can play a little second base, too, in a pinch. So you've got that opportunity if you really need it. We'll see what the injuries are like, and hopefully Cody Bellinger is back here soon. We don't know his status quite yet. Maybe you do, but you know he should be getting close to getting ready.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's going to be ready for the Padres series, Ned. You know this as a former GM. When you hear the manager say he was just running in the pool earlier today, that doesn't sound like he's ready to play tomorrow or the day after.
Yeah, I missed that comment, but you're right. Running in the pool is... It's one of the steps, but it's certainly not the last step.
No. What do you think about this series, Ned? The Dodgers are trying to play it cool. They've said all the right things, but their actions say something different, where they were able to maneuver the schedule and their rotation to not only get guys extra days rest, Bueller pitching on 6 days rest tomorrow, Kershaw 5 days rest on Saturday. They have lined up their top three starters to face the Padres. Despite what anybody thinks, it doesn't feel like a coincidence.
No, it's the right thing to do for a number of reasons. You know what? You got maybe the second best team in the National League, or maybe in baseball versus the best team in baseball. So if you're the best team in baseball, part of the reason you are is because of how you pitch. So you know what? We're gonna set it up so our top three guys go, and we're gonna start out with a guy that nothing fazes Walker Buehler, no matter how big the game is, no matter what the environment is. I love having him start it off. Plus, you've got two young pitchers in May and Urias that you want to kind of monitor what they're going to do throughout the course of a very long season, 60 to 162 games. Both pitchers last year threw in the 55, 56 inning range during the regular season and then had some playoff time. So when those two pitchers get into about that 100 inning mark, it's going to be a little bit of no man's land right there for both of them. So preserve them now, maybe make them wait a couple extra days because now maybe they'll get some extra time. But I think it makes sense to do what they're doing, and especially, you know, to show the Padres, okay, you know, you made all the noise and you made all the deals. Let's go head-to-head here and see how it goes.
Yeah, it should be a fun series in San Diego, no doubt about it. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk. Ned, you want to stick with us to the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, we'll stay. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's go late night here with Ned Coletti until the bottom of the hour. When we continue here on Dodger Talk, Matt Kemp, Ned, joined us on the pregame show on Jackie Robinson Day. We all know how close he was to Don Newcomb, so we had a conversation with him. We'll share part of that with you. And also have a little interview with Vin Scully remembering Jackie Robinson as well. I know it's a special day for you, so we'll get your thoughts on Jackie Robinson Day as all the Dodgers and everybody around Major League Baseball wore number 42. The Dodgers come out on the winning end tonight against the other team wearing 42, the Rockies, 7-5, right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger insider David Basse.
The 2-0. Muncy with a fly ball, right center field, and deep, on its way, and gone! Max Muncy, a three-run home run!
Max Muncy with the big go-ahead home run in the bottom of the seventh inning to give the Dodgers the lead that they would not relinquish. They defeat the Rockies tonight by a final score of 7-5. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Basse live at Dodger Stadium. Ned Coletti at the Sportsnet LA studios. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit AM570LASports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. Now, Ned, I know you've been here for postseason games sitting in the press box, but that was with 56,000 plus here. I got to tell you, when Muncy hit that home run, this crowd of 15,000 plus made the press box shake. So that just shows you that there may not be a full house here at Dodger Stadium, but the ones that are here are roaring for the opportunity to cheer on this Dodger team.
Well, it's been a long year plus, and anybody that's fortunate enough to get out to the stadium and get a ticket, you know, they're excited to watch this team play. They watched it from a distance last year, watched the first World Series championship since 1988. So you get a chance to get out. You get a chance perhaps to see people you haven't seen for a while, including the boys in blue. And when they play like they've been playing, it's an exciting time and a lot of emotion, I'm sure.
A lot of former Dodgers had their eyes on the Dodgers, current Dodgers team, last October when they went on their World Championship run, Ned. I had a chance to talk to your former player, Matt Kemp, today on the pregame show. He's living in Texas. Can you believe that?
Good for him. From Oklahoma, out of the, I think, when he was growing up, so
that's
not
right.
Too far away.
Yeah, and he also told me that he's going to play for Team USA for Olympic baseball, for the opportunity to play for the Olympics. They have to go through group play, but Matt Kemp is going to be part of Team USA.
That is awesome. What a great experience. After a great career, have a chance to represent your country. That's very sweet right there.
Here's what Matt had to tell me about watching the Dodgers, Ned, last year. I think it's so interesting to hear from these guys that played in the last 10 years that came up short. And, you know, Matt was on the 2018 Dodger team that lost to the Red Sox in five games. So here's what Matt had to say and where he was when the Dodgers won the World Series last year.
I was at home. I was watching the game. I watched every single one of the games. You know, those are my bros, and I'm definitely excited for them, happy for them. You know, that was something that we tried to do for 10 years when I was with the Dodgers. Came close a couple of times, but we never got over that final hump, and finally it happened. And, you know, Tommy got his ring, and now he's in Dodger heaven watching down, and it would have been cool for him to experience that ring ceremony. But, shoot, I know he's shining down over all the fellas, and you know, they're playing good right now. It looks like they're trying to go back to back.
Yeah, right. Do you think anybody can stop them with that pitching staff?
Man, it's a long season. But, you know, if everybody stays healthy, sky's the limit for that team.
Yeah, so Matt Kemp still has his eyes on his former team and his former teammates. And if you want to hear the full conversation, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app. And, Ned, you know how close Matt Kemp was with Don Newcomb. He shared stories of, you know, the conversations he had with Nuke before games. And it's so cool to hear him still remember those discussions he had, and especially on a day like today on Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes, great to hear Matt's voice, and yes, Jackie and Don Newcomb, Roy Campanella, really important people, not just in baseball history, but in the civil rights movement. I talked to Nuke many, many times about the 1960s and 1950s, and he would tell me that Dr. King and Jackie and himself and Roy would have dinner every so often, and Dr. King gave Jackie so much credit, and then Nuke and Roy as well, for being out front and being almost the headliners as things were attempting to change in this country back in the late 40s and 50s and 60s. So a very poignant day. I thought it was very classy and very, you know, kind of expected because of the leadership and the great man that Dave Roberts is, that the team went out to the Jackie Robinson statue out in center field under the pavilion there. And he talked about legacy. He talked about Jackie's legacy, and he told his players, think about your own legacy and think about the legacy that you can leave to help people out, to help society out. And I thought it was a great moment for this organization led by a great guy like Dave, and really a poignant moment. And you know, I've been here 15, 16 years now, and it's an honor to be part of this organization. And the things that I think about when I think about being part of the organization and why I consider it such a blessing, probably top on the list is celebrating today and Jackie Robinson Day. And that to me is, means a lot, to have sat in the chair that Branch Rickey once sat in as he made those decisions is one of the highlights of not just my career but my life.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Ned. Love hearing those stories and love hearing just the respect that you have for this organization. We'll check in with you Monday, Ned. We'll see whether or not the Dodgers can remind the Padres where their place is, and it's not at the top of the NL West.
All right, David, I got you this far. Don't mess up the weekend on me now.
I'll try not to, Ned.
Got you at 11-2. Come on now.
All right. I'll see whether or not the Dodgers can come back 13-3 at the very least.
All right. I'll talk to you then.
All right. There he goes, Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. 866-987-2570. And what Ned was talking about there, it reminds me that David Price, Mookie Betts, and Dave Roberts were among 250 players and managers and coaches that gave up their salaries today to donate to the Players Alliance. Matt Kemp, also part of that group as well. So they are honoring Jackie Robinson's legacy in their own way and sacrificing their own salary to try to help people get fed, have some clothes, and make a difference as far as social injustice goes. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Sherman Oaks. Hopper, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Hopper.
Hey, David. Good to speak to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sorry I forgot your first name, or I would have called you that.
or you give me a hard time again.
Yeah, remind us what your first name is again, Hopper.
Trevor Wyatt.
All right, there we go. What do you have to say tonight?
So, and what an honor to hear the great Ned Colletti. Thanks for having him on. But, you know, would have liked to pick his brain on this. Tonight we had three different guys. Well, Lux didn't go tonight. But right now we have, and I want you to maybe give me an answer if you can, my opinion. We have Edwin Rios, Gavin Lux, and Zach McKinstry. So we got those three rooks going right now. They're all fighting for a position. Zach Mack's killing it right now. Rios is doing it. And then we got this new kid coming up, Raley, right, that is hitting the ball hard but can't get it to fall. Who do you think gets it? Thanks for the call.
Gets what? Who do I think gets what?
Who do you think gets the spot?
There's multiple spots for multiple guys, Hopper. There's enough room for all of them.
But listen, you're absolutely correct. But there's four knockout rookies right now. And Rios has tried a couple years now. This is his third year in a row. Lux's second year where they're not actually officially rookies. They've come up. They'll come up for maybe 30 games total.
And I know what you mean.
An official. Yeah, so I'm saying.
Well, let's see what happens with Lux. This injury is a little concerning. We'll see whether or not his hand is okay. I mean, this might open up an opportunity for Zach McKinstry to play a lot more second base with the Lux possibly being out. We'll see how long he's out for, but it's never good when you're a late scratch, and we're talking about a young player's hand. And now A.J. Pollock and his left groin have popped up to be a little tight. So the Dodgers have some interesting decisions to make as they head into San Diego and try to keep this afloat. Because honestly, when you talk about Dodgers' depth this year, it's not position player wise. It's more of the pitchers. The pitching staff is super deep, but their position players are a little bit thinner than they have been in the past. I mean, you had Luke Raley starting tonight. You've had to lean on Matt Beatty a little bit. Edwin Rios hasn't really gotten on track. So the Dodgers' depth is definitely being tested, especially in the outfield. And if A.J. Pollock cannot play in these three games against the Padres and the Dodgers are waiting to see whether or not that left groin responds, then they are going to be a little shorthanded. So I would expect the Dodgers to make a decision on Lux or Pollock, whether or not one of them or both of them are going on the injured list, because you can't go into this series against the Padres and into next week with four games against the Padres shorthanded on the bench. 866-987-2570. Before we say goodnight, I want to share a conversation I had with Vin Scully a few years back. I had a chance to just pick his brain on a number of different topics, including Jackie Robinson and his relationship with him. And here's what Vin shared with us a few years back. It's really special.
Well, I think, first of all, when I first started, I was the same age as many of the rookie players. I can remember sitting in the back of the bus with Dick Williams, who was a rookie outfielder for the Dodgers, who eventually became a Hall of Fame manager. So a lot of years go by. And in those days, with Jackie and I, we were sent to the Catskill Mountains. There were a resort up there called Grossinger's, pretty famous in the East. And it was dead of winter, and we were going to hold a Q&A with the guests and do whatever we could do to entertain. So I brought my ice skates because I was a kid from the East, and I skated. And Jackie and Rachel came, and Rachel was about 8 months pregnant. And Jackie said, "Oh, you're going to go skating?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'll go with you." I said, "Okay." So Rachel said, "I'll go too." Well, we went to the rink right at Grossinger's, and there was a lady named Maureen Mellerick, and she took Rachel off to get her skates. And Jackie and I went in the locker room, And Jackie got a pair of rented skates, and I was putting on mine. And Jackie said, when we get out there, I'd like to race you. And I was shocked. And I said, Jack, I didn't know that you you raced. You're from Southern California. I knew about basketball. I knew about football. But I didn't know you ice skated. And he said, oh, I've never been on skates in my life. So I looked at him, and I said, well, Jack, I mean, I'm not a great skater, but I can skate. And there's no way that you're going to beat me in a race. And he said, I know, but that's the way I'm going to learn. And that really was the competitive fire inside of Jackie Robinson.
Can you talk about what he went through and how you witnessed everything that he did go through as one of the pioneers, not only in baseball, but in American society?
Well, actually, when Jackie started with the Dodgers in 1947, I was not there. My first taste of what it was like to travel with Jackie was the spring of 1950. And we went from Vero Beach to Texas on our way to Brooklyn. So it was a long, long trip. And we came back from Texas through the South. And that's when I realized the impact that he had made on the country. Jackie was very forceful, however, with the people. If the black community came out, and they did, they were in right field and center field and some of the small ballparks. And Jackie would go out, and if he saw one or two, let's say, who were over-celebrating, who perhaps had gone to the hard stuff, Jackie would really not bawl them out, but he would say to them, this is not the way to behave. You can be happy, but you don't want to show some bad habits while trying to be happy. So he was very concerned about the reaction of the black people in the South. But he was a remarkable man, and I've often said this. Most of us lose some of our skills when we get angry. Jackie actually excelled when he got angry, certainly on the baseball field. That's why Leo Durocher and other managers used to say, leave him alone, let him sleep. Because if you got him angry, he could do the most remarkable things. And I remember in Pittsburgh one time, they threw at him, and he got angry. So he had a base hit, then he stole second, then he stole third, and then he stole home. And so that's the kind of a player he was. The fire in his belly was amazing.
And that was the great Vin Scully sharing his thoughts and memories of Jackie Robinson. And if you just Google Vin Scully and Jackie Robinson's name, you'll see that photo of them on ice skates. And that was the story behind that photo. So appreciate Vin for taking out the time to share his stories with me, and including that one of Jackie Robinson. I never get tired of hearing it. That'll do it for us tonight. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. In case you missed the Matt Kemp interview, that's where you could find that as well. And also, the new Extra Innings podcast, episode 3, is up right now. Brad Paisley joined us, so you could find that on iTunes, Spotify, and also the iHeartRadio app. Coming up tomorrow, the Dodgers will be in San Diego for game 1 of the 19 matchups against the Padres. It'll be a 3-game series at Petco Park. Walker Buehler will be on the mound against Ryan Weathers. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 6 o'clock with first pitch at 7:10. Thanks to Colin Yee for his help back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. Also, thanks to you for listening. We will talk to you live from San Diego. I will be there live. Dodger Talk will be there all weekend long, so we'll have some fun with this series. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium tonight. The Dodgers have won 6 in a row after defeating the Rockies 7-5. Have a great night. See ya. We love it.